Thank you, Brother Moran, for the wonderful introductions and felt so undeserving of the kind words that have been said. But if there's anything that's ever been of any value, it's all of the Lord, and I appreciate being able to serve Him. I want to continue to extend the welcome to all that have come to be with us tonight. Last night, the church, you were on live Facebook while you were preaching, and after church, we had a large crowd in the church last night, but there was over 347 views that were taking place last night, and so that was a lot of people that heard the gospel last night. We don't know who all it was, but that's very good, and so we appreciate the opportunity to stand before you tonight. We want you to pray for us. Also, there's an announcement up here. We're having a fellowship meal Saturday at 5:30, and so we invite everybody to come. So if the 347 that viewed last night show up, you better get some extra chickens, all I can say. Everyone is welcome, and so we're glad everybody came to be with us tonight, and appreciate the song selection, Brother Jimmy and Sister Barbara, and all the talent that the Lord has provided for us. Last night when Brother Moran was preaching, the Lord laid a message upon my heart, and I have tried all day to study about how to deliver the things that God has put upon our heart. And the one thing that I need to start with, the title of the message is Leaving on My Mind. A man by the name of Rusty Goodman wrote a song several years ago before he passed away. And the first verse says, "This old house I've been living in is needing repair. The windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself, I'm going to fix them when I can get the time. But all I'm getting lately is leaving on my mind. Lately, all I've got is leaving on my mind. It seems that's all I've been thinking about most of the time. Soon and very soon, I'll leave my troubles far behind, because all I'm getting lately is leaving on my mind." Verse 2 says, "I guess I ought to be looking for a better place to live, but I just can't get excited about the world and what it can give. I wouldn't care if I could buy it all with a solitary dime, for what would this world's good do to me with leaving on my mind? Yes, lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. It seems that's all I've been thinking about most of the time. Soon and very soon, I'll leave my troubles far behind, because all I'm getting lately is leaving on my mind." Now I'm going to throw you a little bit of a twist. Have you ever thought about the life of Christ? Have you ever thought about Him having leaving on His mind? Tonight, the first song that we started with was I Want to Know More About My Lord. I want you to turn to the 16th chapter of the book of John. I'm going to read two verses of Scripture with the help of the Lord. I'm going to try to convey a message about Jesus having leaving on His mind from the very beginning. In verse 27 of the 16th chapter of the book of the Gospel according to John, it says, "For the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved Me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and I go to the Father." That's kind of some evidence to believe that Jesus had leaving on His mind. Now let's go all the way back to the creation. In the Bible, in John, in his first chapter, he said this, and this goes right along with what Brother Moran so eloquently said last night. According to him and according to the Scriptures, there's much evidence to help us to understand that Jesus was in the beginning in the creation. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In verse 4 it says, in Him was life, and the light was the light of men. In verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. And so as we get ready to go into this message, I'd like for us to go all the way back to the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. It says He rested on the seventh day after He had looked over everything that He had made. And He said it was good when He looked at all the creation. But then after He created man, He said, this is very good. And then He put him in the garden. Now, I want you to imagine for just a moment. When God, who is infinite and has infinite wisdom, and I also believe that He is omniscient. I believe as Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead, He is omniscient. In other words, He knows everything. So He knew when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, He knew that they would transgress the law and break it, and sin would come upon all men. And so having said that, I thought in my heart, in my mind, I wonder how many times when Jesus was there in the beginning, as we'll look a little bit further concerning some other verses of Scripture, but in the very beginning, He already had leaving on His mind because He knew that Adam and Eve would transgress the law and that sin would be on every one of us. And then it happened. You see, Adam and Eve were in the garden. God gave them that commandment of every tree you can eat in the garden. He said, but the tree of the knowledge of evil, the day that you eat of, He said, you are surely going to die. Of course, you know, Satan, he's been on the scene a lot. And I think that Satan causes a lot of us to want to have leaving on our mind too, you see. But you see, even in the very beginning, Jesus, and it was already established in the beginning, and I don't know if I'll be able to take the Scriptures and pull that in today, but you know, it tells us that there was a determinate counsel in the foreknowledge of God that they knew that Adam was going to transgress, and there was provisions made by which we could come back to God. And don't you know that was on Jesus' mind? Now the only way that God can bring us back into fellowship after man had transgressed and sin came upon every one of us, and we know the Scriptures tells us that in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. For whatever reason, I feel like I need to read that. You pray for me because I read a few verses of Scriptures and I just couldn't really grasp what I was supposed to say tonight, but I knew that this was the thought that was upon my heart. The Bible says concerning these that transgressed in the garden that Jesus must have already knew that He was going to have to come into the world to bring us back into fellowship with God, and His specific thing that He was supposed to do was to come and to offer Himself a sacrifice, an all-sufficient sacrifice to God, to take our sins and nail it to the cross, and then He would be buried and He would rise again. Now the Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul said in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, he says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, it says Christ died for the ungodly. He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare, or even dare to die. It says, but God commended His love in that while we were yet sinners, it says that Christ died for us. And now, don't you know, in the very beginning of time, that Jesus knew that He was going to have to leave the Father and come to the world and offer Himself a sacrifice for every one of us. And that, you know, I know God, He's patient, He's long-suffering, and Jesus, He was always willing to do just as the Father bid Him to do, as we read in your hearing tonight in these two verses of Scripture, how that He loves us and He extended that love to us, and that He came into the world and He died for us so that He could go back to the Father when His work was completed. And so if you look with me for just a little while, I think you can sense that He has leaving on His mind. Could you just imagine with us, it seems like 5,000 or 6,000 years would be a long time to wait. But have leave it on your mind. But he had leave it on his mind. You know why? Because the Bible says he had such a love for us that he wanted us to be back in fellowship with God. And the only way that we could do that was he would have to come into the world and offer himself that sacrifice for each and every one of us. So the Bible says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man, it says that sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed from all men, for all have sinned. He said, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. He said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Can you just imagine? And I did today. I imagine for just a little while how that at the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, how that Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, and no doubt at that time that we needed a sacrifice. Now all the types and shadows and pictures in the Old Testament pointed to the fact that Jesus was going to come. And when he came, it was at that right appointed time that he would come and to do that. But can you just imagine for the next several thousand years, you've got leaving on your mind. And how would you like to leave the portals of glory and all the majesty and all the beauty to come down to this world that where we inhabit today and all the sin that is in it? And could you just imagine how that Jesus must have felt when Moses came on the scene, and even prior to that, how that the world became so wicked so quickly, you see, after Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, it says that he called a God, called a preacher by the name of Noah, and he put Noah out there, and he said, you go and you preach to those people how that the righteousness of God is through the one that will come, the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. And so Noah went out there, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and the sin became so wicked, and the people in their imaginations was wicked entirely, until God finally said, that's enough. He could have sent Jesus, but he didn't. You know what he did? He sent a great flood and destroyed all the world. I wonder how many times Jesus thought, is it my time to go yet? Or should I go down there? Well, he was in the control of everything, and the ones that got in the ark, it says that God shut the door, and then his mercy was continued to be extended, and then Noah came out, the world became populated again. A lot of people say, well, that sounds like a fairy tale. I don't want you to think about it as a fairy tale. I want you to think about God having us on his mind, and how that we were there, and his vision, you see, and he saw that there would be, after Noah, that there would be a gospel that would spread throughout the entire world, you see, and then there would be those that would come. And then he made a promise. Don't you know that's on his mind too? He says, I'm going to put the bow in the air, and that's on his mind, and this is on his mind. I'm not going to destroy it by water anymore. I'm going to destroy it by fire, you see. The next time he comes, the next time he comes, I'll get to that in a little while. But you see what I'm saying? That's got to be on his mind too. He came and did his thing. He came and he performed the things that God wanted him to do. And when he came to the world, it says, for nevertheless, he said, death reigned from Adam to Moses over all of them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. He said, but now, as the offense, so also is the free gift. He
says, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, and then it says, to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. He says, for as by one man's disobedience, it says, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, but the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see, here Jesus is. He's through Adam, he's with Noah, he's with Moses, and then he goes through all the prophets, and the prophets even Brother Moran preached about last night. I wonder how many times he thought, is it my time to go back and go to the earth, you see, and come down there and to offer myself a sacrifice so that all could be saved. Well, several thousand years and several examples of how it would be. Can you just imagine Abraham, what a picture! Jesus was looking and he was instructing Abraham to take his only son, the only rightful son, the rightful heir that would bring the Messiah into the world. And so he told him, he says, you go up there and you offer your only son, Isaac, for of sin, you see. And the Bible tells us that because God is who he says he is, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, and he knew that his son would raise again. What a beautiful picture to know that that was on Jesus' mind. So he gave everybody in the whole world a picture of how that was going to take place. And instead of taking his life, you know the story. There was a ram in the thicket. He went. He offered him on the there. But then it tells us in the book of Hebrews that his faith was so strong that he knew, because he was the promised heir, and that he had us on his mind, that Isaac would be raised up from the dead if he actually took his life. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? And so Jesus, he puts all this out. He still got it on his mind. And then it tells us in the book of Galatians, I could go on probably for several minutes just talking about all the things that transpired and how the things that happened before Jesus finally, when God said, it is time for you to come. And Brother Moran explained it last night, that I firmly believe that Jesus was a virgin born through Mary, because it had to be that way. Why? Because if he hadn't been that, then he would have entered into sin. But Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So he leaves. He leaves the portals of glory. And it tells us in the book of Galatians, I appreciate y'all praying for me. This is going a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I've really struggled. But you know what? When you just let go and let God have His way, this is much bigger than me. This is much greater than me. And you know what? I can't even begin to fathom in my mind what was going on in God's mind when He saw you, when He saw me, and all of us that was going to need a Savior one day after a while. But then He hadn't even on His mind. God said it's time. And the Bible says, but when the fullness of time came, He said, but when the fullness of time was come, in the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, Paul must have understood something about it, because this is what he said. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem us, you see. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons, because ye are the sons, and God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Father. So when the fullness of time came, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and when he came into the world, you might say, well, he was just a little baby. Absolutely he was. He probably didn't have his mother feed him and take care of him and all these things. But then there came a time when he came into the world. I can imagine if he could reason with himself, that he had leaving on his mind. How would you like for you to come into the world and the first thing you got is a death sentence given to you by Herod, and saying, I'm going to take every male child that's 10 years and younger and I'm going to destroy it. But you know what? God has always intervened. God has always had us on his mind. And then God said to Joseph in a dream, he said, you take that baby and you go to Egypt and you stay there and tell those that are getting ready to take his wife. And then if you come back, and when the time was right, he came back. And by this time, he's beginning to reason so much that he came to do his father's will. And you say, how do you know that? Well, I'll tell you, leaving must have been on his mind. Because one day, his mom and daddy, they went to worship, and when they went there, the Bible says that Joseph and Mary, they went back to where they came from, and you know what? Jesus stayed back. And the 12-year-old boy in the synagogue, reading the scriptures before the people, and he said to the people that day, that these scriptures are indeed fulfilling you, and that you're hearing, you see, and he was reasoning with the lawyers and telling them the things of the 12-year-old boy. But mom and daddy got concerned about it, and so they turned back, and they went back to get it. And when they found him, they were astonished for what they saw. And they saw a young man that must have had leaving on his mind, because he came here to fulfill the promise that God had given for every one of us, that he would be the Messiah. And you know what he told mom and daddy? And mama said, we're worried about you, Mary dear. You know what he said? He said, I've got to be about my father's business. I'll tell you, if there's ever a thing in time where we need to be about the father's business, it's got to be about us now. We've got leaving on our mind. And you say, Brother Spurgeon, Rusty Goodman was talking about going to heaven. That's exactly right. And every one of us, when our time comes, we'll have leaving on our mind. And where will you be going? You're going to go of one or two places. It'll be heaven or it'll be hell. And so we see here that after 12 years old, from the time he's 12 till he's 30, there's not much said about it until the time comes when he comes preaching. And when he's preaching there, he comes to John the Baptist, as Brother Brand said last night, to prepare the material, you see. And you might say, well, Brother Spurgeon, why would a 30-year-old man have leaving on his mind? How would you like to face going to a mock trial, a cruel crucifixion, and dying on the cross of Calvary, put to shame? Wouldn't that want you to have leaving on your mind? I'll tell you, he may have had leaving on his mind, but he didn't leave. He didn't leave until the time was right for him to leave. And God has always been on time, right on time, and he will continue to be on time until Jesus, who no doubt in my mind, still has leaving on his mind. And I'll show you that in just a little while. And so we see here that when he came to the 16th chapter of the book of John, we know that he got ready to pray a prayer. And when he prayed that prayer, listen to our text. He said, for the Father himself loveth you. He says, because you have loved me. Do you love the Lord? I believe that everybody that is here tonight, you love the Lord. Anybody tuning in is because you love the Lord. And the reason you're tuning in is because you want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about him every day. And then one thing that I understand is evidently he always has leaving on his mind. But there's going to be a time when he's not going to leave anymore. And you see here in the 16th chapter, he had already told him in the 14th chapter, he says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, he said, I would have told you. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. That tells me right there that he had leaving on his mind. He was going to go to prepare a place for all of those that needed a Savior. And Jesus did just that. But before he did, he fulfilled the Father's will. Listen to what he says. He says, because you have loved me and have believed that I came not from God, or I came out from God, and have believed that I came out from God, and I came forth from that Father, and he says, and am come unto the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And so he did just that. He came, and then he makes this a beautiful prayer in the 17th chapter. For whatever reason, I just can't seem to get away from that prayer. And the prayer that he prayed when he was telling everybody, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. He had to have leave it on his mind, to convey to us that he was going to go and do that. And right now, he died on the cross, we know that. And we know that he was buried. The Bible tells us he was raised up. And after that, then Peter began to start preaching, you see. And when Peter was preaching, for whatever reason, I've got to go over and read at least a couple of verses in Acts, if you'll bear with me for just a minute. I'd like to touch on that for just a second. And Peter's message that he preached, he said this. He said in verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, he said, a man approved of God by many, by among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by himself in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Even though he went through his life in the 33 years that he was here on earth, he always went around doing good for anybody, doing miracles and all these things. I love that song Brother Tim sang yesterday with his daughter. When you ask the blind man, he saw it all. Now, how could he see it? I'll tell you how he see it. Jesus opened up his eyes. And aren't you glad that he opens up our eyes? Not just our eyes, but our eyes of faith to know that I'm glad to serve a God that knows each and every one of us and every hair on our head. And you know what? He's got leaving on his mind. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about you and me leaving and going and being with him one day after a while. He's got that right now. He's still got leaving on his mind because he still has one more thing he must accomplish. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But listen to what Peter said. He said, him, he says, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And you see, even sometimes when we have leaving on our mind, it makes us sad. I cannot imagine how sad Jesus must have felt to know that he had to go to a cross and die for me. Can you? It had to be on his mind. Not just us, but the weight of every individual that's ever been born and the sin. What a load. If that doesn't cause you to want to have leaving on your mind, I don't know what is. But you know what? He didn't leave. He didn't leave anything undone. He did me glory for just a little while to come down here and do what God and him agreed that he would do. And he did it. He fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. He accomplished everything that God sent him to do, and he did it willingly. And after it was through, what did he do? He went back home for just a little while. Peter said, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So Jesus now, and I know I just basically just skimmed over. When you really think about it, I've skimmed over about 8,000 years. How in the world could our feeble minds comprehend what is on the mind of God? Because that's what we're talking about. But he came. And he came to this world. Brother Moran said it last night in the first chapter of the book of Acts.
He said there was those that was gazing up into the air. And I began to gaze right there. I saw Jesus just floating away. And those that stood by said, "Why stand you gazing into the heavens? Where this same Jesus is coming back." You ever think Jesus is... I personally don't believe Jesus has let a moment go by not thinking about leaving on His mind. He's going to come back one more time. He is. For a specific purpose. The Bible tells us what that specific purpose is. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." This is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." There's been a lot of people that it has leaving on their mind. Maybe you did tonight. Maybe you came in and you said, "Brother Moran's not preaching. I got leaving on my mind." Well, just stick around for a minute. Please don't leave yet. Those, even Rusty Goodman and others that sang that song about having leaving on their mind, in essence, what they're saying is there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. What's here on earth is all going to be burnt up and consumed. But Jesus is waiting. He's got leaving on His mind. One more time. Because the Bible says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." When's that going to happen? I don't know. But I just imagine the way things are going and the things that Jesus said in the 24th, 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, that the things that are going on round about, He's got to have leaving on His mind. Because a lot of the things are rolling out right before us. And as they're rolling out, just think at any moment, God will say, "Son, it's time. Go bring my children home." If we're alive and remain, we'll get caught up in the air with Him. Can you just imagine those graves and everyone that's going to come out? You know what Paul said? He said, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." My objective tonight was to hope and pray that it's a comforting consolation to know that even Jesus at times must have had leaving on His mind. And to me, and the more I live every day, I've got leaving on my mind. Evidently, the Spirit of the Lord thought there were some songs that needed to be sung about that tonight, didn't He? What was the last song we sung? What a day that will be. What was the next one? "I'm bound for that city. I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord." We start singing these songs about heaven. Why? Because we get homesick. I think Jesus got homesick a few times. I can imagine He got really homesick when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Really homesick. I don't know how any rational person who's had it all, the beauty of it, the splendor of it, and to leave it, and to go to a place where you're rejected and not even wanted by many, many people. I can only imagine that it would have to be and have to come to a conclusion that I've got leaving on my mind. Brother Jimmy, if we'll get a song. Altar's always open, but I look around and I see a lot of people leaving on their mind. I don't see anybody here that hasn't told a testimony. And today, as I preach that message, God says just what we need.
So tonight, just say goodbye. You can't go back. You know, it's going to be worth it after all. After all the troubles and trials of this life, it's going to be better than we could ever imagine in our minds.
Thanks.
Tonight, I sleep on my mind.
1 minute 6.